But if you have your Bible, let's turn now to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me begin by telling you a true story. A true story from last year. 28th of September 2021, a man in Bursa, Turkey called Behan Mutlu, 50 years of old, went for a night out with his friends. Behan wasn't a Christian, didn't go to church. That's not where the story's going. Behan Mutlu went out one night with his friends to celebrate. He said to his wife, "We're going out to a local village and I'll be back sometime later tonight." So Behan Mutlu went out with his friends. I don't know what happened that night. I'm assuming that he was a little the worse for the wear as he started to make his way home. But as he started to make his way home, he got lost and he didn't arrive home. About midnight, his wife got a little bit anxious about this. Behan hasn't returned, and so she started phoning the people that he was with. Where did Behan go? They said, "Well, Behan, you know, left hours ago. He should have been with you hours ago. I haven't seen him." Then she started phoning more people. Then she said, "Look, we need to organize a search party to find Behan. Behan has obviously something happened to him." So in the middle of the night, this search party is raised to try and find Behan. They let the local police know, and they start this search party combing the area looking for Behan Mutlu. Well, on his way home, Behan Mutlu had got tired. He went into the woods, and in the woods, he fell asleep, just right there in the middle of the forest. Behan Mutlu, however, was woken by the sound of people calling out. And Behan Mutlu woke with a start and saw this large group of people, this search party. So Behan Mutlu asked, "What are you doing?" They said, "We're looking for a man that is lost." And Behan Mutlu said, "Can I join you and help?" So Behan Mutlu joined the search party, and Behan Mutlu started going around with everybody else, combing the area. He was one of the line, and they were looking. Many hours passed, and then somebody had the bright idea. Why do we not shout out this man's name? If we all shout out this man's name, maybe he'll hear us and maybe he'll respond. So they passed down the line, "Shout out Behan Mutlu." And so as he started calling out, "Behan Mutlu," Behan responded and said, "I'm here." It's only whenever you hear your name being called out that you respond, or certainly for Behan Mutlu, it was only whenever he heard his name called that he responded. And as we come to church this morning, the truth is, God calls out your name. You didn't come here by accident this morning. You didn't come here by some fate that was uncontrollable. God brought you here this morning, and God's calling out to you. Whether you're a young person, whether you're an older person, God's calling out to you. If you're a Christian, God's calling out to you. He's saying your name. If you're a backslider, God's calling out to you. Maybe you've grown cold in the Christian life. Maybe you got up this morning and you think, "I've lost it. I don't feel close to God anymore. Where did God go? Years ago I felt warm, but I feel cold this morning." God hasn't changed. God's calling out to you. Can I take this off? God's calling out to you this morning. God's calling your name. God wants you to hear his words to you so you might come back to him. The passage that we're looking at this morning is all about God's call, and it's about God's call on a man called Elisha. Just open your Bible and just scan back a couple of pages with me to we try and get the context of what's going on. God's people have been in rebellion. They've turned away from God. And God said to Moses, "If my people turn away from me, I'll punish them. And part of my punishment on them is that there'll be no rain." And so in 1 Kings, there have been 3.5 years of drought. Time we get to chapter 18, it hasn't rained in 3.5 years. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we have Elijah. Elijah's the prophet of God. And Elijah goes up Mount Carmel. There's 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah says, "You want to cry out to God, your God, go ahead and do it." And then Elijah says, "God, I'm asking that you would send a sign that these people would know that you're the Lord." They would know that you're a God. And 1 Kings 18, if you don't know the chapter, go home and read it. The fire of God falls. After that great victory in 1 Kings 18, we go on to 1 Kings 19. And Elijah flees from Ahab. Elijah's again being hunted. His life's in danger. And he runs into the wilderness, and under a broom tree, he cries out to God. And he says, God, where have you gone? God, are you still going to use me? And God speaks to Elijah and says, Elijah, I have work for you to do. And part of the job that I have you to do is I want you to go to Elisha. Go and find Elisha. Elisha is in this place called Abel Mahola, which is only 15 miles from where Elijah was brought up. And Elijah's to go to Abel Mahola. And you'll notice in the text, he doesn't say anything. Did you notice that? Elijah doesn't come to Elisha with a speech. He doesn't say, I have something to tell you. He doesn't say anything. Whenever I was doing the children's address for the kids, you maybe thought, like, where is this going? All Elijah does is take his cloak, the cloak that he's been wearing, a cloak that's been through famine and drought and fire, a cloak that's been through earthquakes, a cloak that he's worn all the time. He takes his cloak and he just drops it on Elisha and keeps walking. And I think there are two main things this morning that we learn from this scene. I'm sorry I don't have them up in the overhead, but I know you'll remember them. The first thing that we learn from this scene is that here is a man, here are men who are in touch with God. Are you in touch with God? When you pray, do you think God hears you? When you read the Bible, do you think God speaks to you? Elijah and Elisha are men who are in touch with God. You see it there. You see it there even in just the way that God's working in Elijah's life. Elijah has been the prophet of God for about 44 years at this point. And in chapter 19, verse 16, Elijah hears God say to him, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. Elijah's been the man of God, the prophet of God for 44 years, and God comes to him and he says, go and appoint somebody else. And the fact that Elijah actually gets up and goes towards Elisha tells me that this is a man who's in touch with God. This is a man that doesn't think, Lord, but what about me? What about all that I've done for you? God, are you going to replace me? God, are you really telling me that you can use somebody else? But God, what about all the things that I've been doing for you? I mean, we don't need anybody else. God, just use me. Elijah doesn't say that because Elijah's in touch with God. Elijah, you could say, takes the long-term view. Elijah has been working for God. He's been working for God in his generation. But Elijah knows that God's going to work not only in his generation, but in the next generation and in future generations. And so Elijah says, God, I know that you're going to keep on working. Even whenever you move me to the side, your work still continues. Because Elijah is a man who's in touch with God. Whenever Elijah says to God in chapter 19, he says, look, I'm the only one left. He kind of panics a wee bit. He panics as he thinks, look, what is God doing? I don't know what God's doing. But Elijah has God come alongside him, and Elijah hears God say, I'm still working. I'm still building my church. I'm still building my kingdom. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a wee bit panicked about what God's doing in your life. The closer you are to God, the more in touch with God you are, the less you're going to panic. The less you'll panic about your own life, the less you'll panic about your family, the less you'll panic about the church, the less you'll panic about the country, the less you'll panic about the advancement of God's kingdom. Because when you're in touch with God, you take the big picture view, the long-term view. And Elijah is a man who's in touch with God. So what does Elijah do? He listens to what God says. And Elijah's told, go to Abel Mahola and go to a field. And there, anoint Elisha as the prophet. And in one sense, that's pretty surprising. Because Elisha hasn't been in theological education. I mean, God could have said to Elijah, go to Gilgal, go to Bethel, go to Jericho. Because that's where the schools of the prophets were. But he doesn't. He says, go to a field. And I know what many of you think when it comes to serving God. You think, this is not for me. You think, I'm happy to come to church on a Sunday, but God couldn't use me. Or maybe you think, well, like, I dirtied my ticket. There was a time when I was really on fire for the Lord, but I kind of fell out of the way. Over COVID, I grew cold. And people would look at me, and if I put up my hand and said I wanted to get involved again, people would look at me in my work if I started talking about being in church. But God does use you. He can use you. He wants to use you. If Elijah was to be able to pick the prophet that was going to follow after him, I doubt he would have went to a farmer's field. He would have went to a theological college, but he just goes to a field. And God can use people who are working in a field every day. God can use people who are working in an office every day. God can use young people, sure, but God can use old people. God can use people in their 60s and their 70s and their 80s, because so often we say to God, God, you can't use me. I'm not the kind of person you're looking for. But Elijah's in touch with God. So when Elijah hears God say, go to a field, go to a farmer's son and anoint Elisha as the prophet, he goes. Because we can say, God, I'm not the material you're looking for. But God says, you're exactly what I'm looking for. Let me ask this question. Do you hear God speaking to you? I would propose that if you do not hear God speaking to you, there's too much going on in your life. If it's a long, long time since you knew God speaking to you about the direction of your life, about the decisions that you were going to make, I would propose to you that there's too much noise, that there's too much going on. Because God wants to talk to you. He wants to direct you and lead you and guide you. And the reason you don't hear from him is you're not in touch with him. And Elijah's a man who's in touch with God. Elijah takes this long-term view. Elijah says, God, I'll go along with your surprising choice. But then do you notice about Elisha? Elisha's in touch with God. Whenever I read this passage, I wonder to myself, God, why did you not call Elisha sooner? I mean, why did you not send Elisha up Mount Carmel along with Elijah whenever the 450 prophets of Baal were there? I mean, there's one of your men and there's 450 of the prophets of Baal. Why not call Elisha sooner? I mean, why not let him be with Elijah during the 3.5 years of famine? Why wait until this point? Well, maybe we could say that God was preparing Elisha. Have you ever been to one of them university graduation ceremonies? I've been to university graduation ceremony. I think my mum and dad were amazed that I actually made it. Whenever you go to a university graduation ceremony, there's always an important speaker brought along, and they give a message to the students that are graduating. And so often the message is something like this. You have done exceptionally well. You're hugely talented and gifted, and you are the leaders of tomorrow. You're those that are going to be leaders in industry. You're those that are going to be leaders in politics. You're those that are going to be the leaders of our nation. And we kind of are a generation of people that are growing up and we're thinking, yeah, we're born to lead. Even in the church, we think, yeah, I'm born to lead. But what about being born to serve? What about being the servants of the next generation? What about being the servants in the church? What about not thinking about leadership? Leadership will come, but leadership comes through service. And what do we find about Elisha? Elisha's not too big that he can't serve, that he can't take a small job. I mean, where is Elisha? He's out working in a field. It's a fairly unglamorous life being a farmer. It's a fairly unglamorous life, starting early and finishing late and traipsing around the field. Now, I confess, whenever I used to work on a farm, I loved it when it was dusty. I loved being out in the slurry tanker, flying along in the dust, flying. I loved those days, but 3.5 years of it, 3.5 years walking around in the dust. And that's where Elisha's working. He's out in a dusty field, and he's taking a small job, because maybe in this time, we can say Elisha's a man who's in touch with God. And he says to God, God, I'm going to use you just where you've planted me. Whenever I think of Emily, and I was reading in your news sheet there, Emily being out in Southeast Asia. I remember going out to Thailand and Southeast Asia years ago. At that time, I was working on the farm. And I remember the farmer's wife said to me before I went to Thailand, she said this, never left me. She said, you'll be no use in Thailand if you aren't any use here. She was saying that to encourage me. She was saying to me, do you think you're going to go out to Thailand? Some people think they go to the foreign mission field. They think when they go out there, then there'll be bells and whistles and fireworks go off. No. God will use you just where he's planted you now. He may take you to Thailand. He may take you to Southeast Asia. He may take you to the far end of the world. But right where God has planted you now, he wants to use you now. And that's what you find with Elisha. I mean, the church doesn't need people who are going to put in a second-hand effort. The church doesn't need people who are going to put in second best. And what's Elisha doing? Elisha's diligent in God's work. He's lining up. He's in the 12th plow. He's got the other men, other 11 men lined up, and he's controlling what's going on. He doesn't think this job's beneath him. He's going to work with all his might right where he is. And that's a lesson for us. Because here we have this man who's in touch with God, who's a servant, who's prepared to work, and he's prepared to work diligently. The first thing that jumps out to me from this story is here's Elijah, and here's Elisha, and they're in touch with God. They're in touch with what God says. They're in touch with what God's working to do, and they're in touch with God right where they are. Are you in touch with God? Here's the second point. In touch with God, but out of touch with their own comfort. Do you notice that about Elisha? He's not only in touch with God, but he's out of touch with his own comfort. Elijah comes along and drops the cloak on him. Doesn't say a word, just drops the robe on him, drops the mantle on him, drops the cloak on him, and keeps on walking. And Elisha responds. Do you see it there in verse 20? What a great example of response. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He left the oxen and immediately, God's been speaking to you, Elijah. I know that God's been speaking to you. You're calling me to be your prophet. And he runs after him. Could there be a better example? I mean, God speaks to us. God speaks to us about service. God speaks to us about being saved. And so often we say to God, look, God, I'll put it off to you another day. God, give me some time to think about this. I will become a Christian, but I'll do it when I'm older. That's how I thought for years. Whenever I'm an old man, you know, whenever I've had my fun, whenever I've lived my life, then I'll become a Christian. And I knew I had to be saved. There wasn't any doubt about that. I knew I had to walk with God, but always just saying, I'm going to put it off. And maybe God's speaking to you about being saved, about getting right with him. And instead of being like Elisha and going immediately, you think, I'll put it off. But whenever God speaks, don't delay. Maybe God's been speaking to you about some area of service or ministry. Do it. Just do it. Maybe God's been speaking to you about talking to somebody in work. Just do it. Maybe you believe God's been doing something in your life and you should go and do an act of service for him or give or support. Or say, I want to help out, and you're nervous and you're afraid, but you know God's been speaking to you. Just do it. Just do it. Don't delay. Don't hang around. Don't wait around. You don't need to go and talk to anybody. If God's asking you to do something, just do it. And that's what we find here with Elisha. God speaks, and he goes. But then there's a surprising thing here. Just look at verse 20. And some of you that know your Bible well have already twigged and picked up on this. I had a look at a commentary to pick up on this, but it's so interesting, isn't it? And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He goes immediately. But then what does he say? Don't worry about the child. Delighted they're here. I know they're there. Great. I'll just talk louder. The people in the car park will hear me. Verse 20. He says something cryptic. Just look at it there. He said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you. And how does Elijah respond to that? He says, what's this to do with me? Now, those of you that are thinking, I've heard something like that before. I've heard something like that before. Where did you hear that before? You heard that in Luke chapter 9. Elijah drops the mantle on Elisha. Elisha runs after him and says to him, let me go and say goodbye to my mom and dad. And Elijah says, fine, no problem, go. Do you remember in Luke chapter 9? Jesus is calling people to be saved. Verse 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house. Exactly the same reason. Elijah said, yes, go on home. But what does Jesus say? No. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What is going on? Elisha says, let me go home to say goodbye to my folks. And Elijah says, yeah, sure. A man runs up to Jesus and says, let me go back and say goodbye to my folks. And Jesus says, no. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is this. God examines the heart. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows whenever you're only given an old excuse. And God knows when you're genuine. Maybe you're listening to me this morning and you feel so guilty. And you're saying, look, I would love to be doing more to serve the Lord, but I'm at home. And I have responsibility at home and I can't do more. Maybe you think you're killing yourself and then you come to church and you listen to me and you think, Andrea, I can't do more. I'm just barely holding it all together. God knows your heart. God knows when people are only given an old excuse. Jesus knew when the man came up to him and said, I'll follow you, but first let me go home. Jesus knew that was just an excuse. He knew the man had no intention of following him. And Elijah knew, God gave him the discernment to know that when Elisha was genuine. So I can say to you, God knows your heart. He knows exactly how much time you have. He knows exactly what ability you have. He knows exactly what finances you have. He knows exactly what your capabilities are. And God knows your heart. So you don't need to give him an old excuse. Elisha is a man who's in touch with God and a man who's out of touch with his own comfort. Because when God calls him, he goes. And whenever he goes, did you notice it's costly? I mean, whenever I was thinking about these 12 yoke of oxen, I was thinking, that would be 12 New Holland tractors. I mean, that's not just a wee Massey 135 this man's farming with. This is with like 12 big New Hollands. You know, this is with some John Deere that's going to do some serious business. This man isn't, you know, running 5 acres looking after a few ewes. This man has got a big farm here. He's got 11 workers. This man is really going places. This is a big outfit. They're in a big way. And they've managed to keep it all going through 3.5 years of famine. I mean, to feed 24 oxen, plus 11 men, plus your whole family, when it hasn't rained in 3.5 years, is good going. And whenever God calls, Elisha just says, I'm going. And that was costly. Can you imagine that? Goes back to his dad and says, Dad, look, I know you've built up the business here. I know you've built up the business for me. I'm the one that's directing operations. Can you imagine the conversation he's going to have with his dad? But Dad, I believe God's calling me to do something else. And his dad says to him, son, what? Elisha's in touch with God, but Elisha's out of touch with his own comfort. He's out of touch with his plans. He's out of touch with his prosperity. And so when God says go, he goes. And here's the third thing. I just want to point this out to you. In touch with God, out of touch with his own comfort. But did you notice that whenever Elisha's called to the service of God, that there's joy? Did you notice that? In the Old Testament, the place names are not by accident. And the place name Abel Meholah means place of joy or place of dancing. Now, we're Presbyterians, and I confess, I love being a Presbyterian. I'm glad I'm not a Pentecostal. If you're a Pentecostal, all the best to you. But we're a kind of dour people. Let's be honest. We sit in our pew, and there's not too much excitement. But you don't need to be that much excitement. We don't need fireworks. But there needs to be a joy. There needs to be a joy, and there should be a joy in knowing the Lord. And Elisha has a joy in God's service. Whenever God calls you to be saved, he's not offering you second best. He's not saying to you, let me ruin your life. Let me give you second best. He's saying, let me give you the best ever. To be involved in a church, I mean, just to be involved in a church. If you were not involved in this church, look at all the things you'd be missing out on. You're maybe scratching your head about it sometimes, but just think about it. You're not going to get this in B&Q. You're not going to get this in the golf course. Being part of God's work and God's church in this world should bring joy. It's for celebrating. It's for being delighted to be about it. And that's what Elisha has. And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them. It doesn't say he had a barbecue. It doesn't say he got all his friends together. It says he sacrificed them. He thought to himself, I'm going into God's service. Let me go to the place of sacrifice. God, I know that I'm unworthy to go into your service. God, I know that blood has to be shed for my sin. So God, there's a sacrifice going to be made here. Before I go into your service, it's going to be in repentance and faith. And he invites everybody. He says, we're going to celebrate together. And what does he do with the oxen? He kills them. Why does he do that? Why does he kill his own oxen, the two that he's been working with? And why does he cut up the wood, the yoke? Because he's saying there's no turning back. There's no turning back. When I've been called to be a Christian, when I've been called to serve God, I go. Maybe you've become a Christian. Maybe you've asked the Lord to save you. And you're falling back into your old ways of living. You're falling back into that old way of life. Well, I can say to you this morning, just put it behind you. I remember speaking in the BB Bible class in Mourne. And speaking to the young fellas, and I remember preaching in 1 Peter 1. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. If you're saved, if God's done a work in your life, you're like a new child, aren't you? You're like a baby. You're just growing. And as you're growing, you're getting bigger as a Christian, and you're going on. But sometimes we fall back into the ways that we used to live. And Peter said to the Christians in Turkey, he said, just stop. Just put the life that you've left behind you and go on with God. And maybe you are a Christian and you keep falling back into the old ways of living. Just put it behind you and go on. Maybe you're trying to serve God, but you're falling into that old way of thinking about your kingdom and about what you have. Put it behind you and go on with the Lord. Because here in this call of Elisha, what do we find? We find supremely two things. We find a man that's in touch with God and out of touch with his own comfort. So this morning in Drumrea, I can ask you, are you in touch with God? And are you out of touch with your own comfort? I think if we're honest, we confess that more often than not, we're out of touch with God. And we're in touch with what we want. Whenever I read this story about Elisha, I think of Jesus. Elijah was the great prophet. And in the New Testament, the new Elijah was John the Baptist. Elijah ran around in camel hair with a leather belt, lived in the wilderness. And what does it say about John the Baptist? He ran around in camel hair with a leather belt. John the Baptist was the new Elijah. And the one that followed after Elijah was Elisha. Elisha prayed and said, God, I want to be able to be used by you twice as much as Elijah was used by you. We're told of Elijah doing 7 great miracles. Elisha did 14. And as John the Baptist was Elijah, so Jesus is our greater Elisha. Because we are the people who are out of touch with God. But Jesus died for people who are constantly falling away. Jesus died for people who always want their own aims and their own ambitions. We're always in touch with what we want. Well, Jesus died for that too. Jesus died because we don't have a joy in serving him. Jesus died because we're not always immediate. Jesus died because we don't always want to count the cost. But because Jesus died, we can know God. And we can live for him. And we can serve him despite all our failings and all our inadequacies. Time has disappeared, but let me finish by telling you a true story. Last Saturday night, I was at a memorial service. It was a memorial service to a missionary who died during COVID in 2020, and his name was Bob McAllister. Maybe you've heard Bob McAllister speak. A mighty man of God. Maybe some of you met Bob. Bob went out to the Congo to be a missionary for God in 1952. He worked in Harland and Wolff in the steelyard and the shipbuilding, and he believed that God called him. So when his man in his 20s went off to the Congo. For the first 6 years that Bob was in the Congo, they saw many people saved. And Bob tells a story about this one man that got saved called, and it's a great name, Ioane Asimane. Next time there's a baptism, suggest Ioane Asimane. Well, Ioane Asimane was saved. And Ioane Asimane said to Bob, I believe that God is calling me to go to my people and to tell them the gospel. Well, before Bob and Alma would send out missionaries and evangelists, they insisted that they were able to read and write. Now, you might think, well, that's a wee bit academic, but the reason why they insisted that they were able to read and write is so that they could read the Bible. They didn't want people going out there and paddling their own canoe. They wanted people going out there and preaching God's word. And so in order to preach God's word, you have to be able to read God's word. And so what Bob and Alma did was they set up a course that would teach the African people in the Congo who had absolutely no education how to read and how to write. And it was a 2-year course. And so they said to Ioana Asimane, Ioana, you're saved, but would you come on to our course? Now, Ioana couldn't read and he couldn't write and he had a terrible stutter. He could hardly speak. But Ioana came into this course. And Bob says that after the first year, after 1 year, Ioana could still not read and he could still not write. And so instead of graduating onto the second year of the course, he said to Ioana, look, Ioana, would you repeat the first year again? Maybe after you repeat the first year again, you can go on to the second year. So he repeated the first year again, and you've guessed it. At the end of the second year, Ioana Asimane could still not read, and he could still not write, and he still had a terrible stammer. They said to Ioana, look, Ioana, you've been here with us 2 years now. And Ioana said, but I believe that God is calling me to go into my people and tell them the gospel. So they said to Ioana, Ioana, would you do the first year again? And so Ioana did the first year again and spent 3 years trying to learn to basically read and basically write. And after 3 years, the man still could not read and still could not write. And they said to Ioana, look, Ioana, you've been with us now 3 years. We think you should go back to your village and we think you should try and learn what we've taught you. And maybe when you're advanced a little bit, maybe then, Ioana, maybe we'll send you out as an evangelist. We need you to be able to read the Bible. Bob said this, one of the other missionaries found Ioana under a palm tree weeping. And this is his prayer. Lord, my grandparents have never heard the gospel. I have heard the gospel. I owe it to my people to give them the gospel. Dear God, please help me to read and to write. And Bob McAllister said this, these are his words. He said, what we couldn't do in 3 years, God did overnight. And God used Ioana Asimane, who very quickly learned to read and write, to be an evangelist and missionary in the Congo. And whenever revival came to Congo in the late 50s and early 60s, who was one of the preachers right at the heart of the revival? It was Ioana Asimane, a man who was in touch with God, and a man who is out of touch with his own comfort. Will you pray with me, please? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought us here this morning. Father, we thank you that you have brought us here to talk to us. We thank you that you have brought us here, Lord, so that we might hear your call, that we might hear you speaking to us. And we hear you speaking to us through your word, the Bible, as your Spirit takes it and brings it to each of us. And Father, we ask that we would not only hear your call, but we would respond. Respond with repentance and respond in faith. We would respond in not just hearing you, but Lord, running after you and crying on to you, Lord, please use me. Please take me. And please use me for your kingdom, not for mine. Please use me for your glory, not for mine. Please use me to see people saved, not that my name would be made great. So, Father, take your word and bury it in our hearts. Thank you for all those who have come this morning to Drumrea. Thank you for all those who are watching online. We thank you, Lord, that though we are different, though our needs are different, though our context and circumstances are different, your word to each one of us comes sharp and true. So we ask that you might bless us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.